Good morning.
It's a blessing to be together again to worship the Lord. And there's more than two or three gathered here. So I want to greet you this morning in that precious name of Jesus Christ. And I want to thank you for that. I've seen him sitting over here somewhere for the opening. That was a real good reminder for me. I must confess, too often I think, and my wife said, should we stop? They got a cell phone. But you know, even with a cell phone, there's opportunities to stop, and we've stopped different times, and people really appreciate it, even if they don't need help. But I have a little testimony to share on that. I was on the other end here this spring. We had to run to town to pick up a few items one evening, and we get back, and we just got in the house. Someone pulled in our drive, and I looked out, and I was like, who's that? I didn't know it, and who it was, and I figured, well, maybe it's Jehovah's Witness, and I looked, no, it's not a Jehovah's Witness. But a man got out of the car, and he came and knocked on the door, and I stepped out on the porch there, and he was a Spectrum salesman, and he wanted to sell me Spectrum, and we had a little discussion. I told him I had no need for Spectrum, and then he wanted to sell me a cell phone or his service, and I told him we're happy with what we have, and he says that's fine, he understands. But he said, there's one more thing. He says, can I pray for you? And he took me back. Nowadays that's something you don't hear a lot of, and we had a little discussion, and we ended up praying together. It was a tremendous blessing. He said about a year ago, God just laid it on his heart. He said he was struggling kind of spiritually, and God laid it on his heart that every person he's in contact, that he should pray for them. And he said it just opens the doors in so many ways. He said he gets to share the gospel, and He gets the opportunity to tell the people they have to be born again and have a walk with the Lord. And something happened to me. I was just like, what am I doing? At the time I had a shed lot where I sell sheds, and I was there 4 days a week, and customers would walk in, and I have this opportunity, and what do I do with the opportunity? So I decided I'm going to do the same thing. Every customer that walks in, I'm at one point going to ask them, do you need prayer? And it's amazing the response of that. Most of the people respected it, not quite all, but it was about the second person that came in there that week, and he pulled in there with a car. The car didn't have a bumper on it, had three big doors, docks in it, and the windshield wipers, they had rags zip tied around the windshield wipers, and the guy in there had big earrings and had big chains hanging around him, and the smell of marijuana was almost knocked me over, and he walked in there and he says, and he's looking for a building to move into. He needs a little storage barn, and he'd like to move into it. And we started having a conversation, and he told me how he had all this money at one time. His dad inherited him, gave him $600,000, and he made bad investments and lost pretty well everything. And then he kept talking. It was after hours, and then I asked him, I says, is there anything I could pray for you? And he just broke down and cried. And he told me, he says, I need prayer. He says, I committed my life to the Lord about a month ago, and I want to change my life, and I'm falling back into my old ways. And I really need I really do need your prayer. So we stopped there and we just prayed. And after I got done praying, he was crying and he just gave me a big hug. He says, I just can't believe that someone would pray for me. And I don't know where he's at today. He's no longer in that building. The people he moved the building to, they told me he has nothing and he moved out and they don't know where he moved to. But so we have those opportunities and we take them. And so many times I don't take them. And I believe it's a way to witness. And so God bless you for sharing that, because it certainly spoke to my heart. And also thank you for that children's lesson. And so this morning, before we get started, I don't know if we have, I think we have enough room here, whoever can. Why don't we kneel in prayer? Lord, we come to you this morning with thankful and grateful hearts. Thank you, Lord, again for being with us this week. Thank you, Lord, for helping me prepare these messages. And thank you, Lord, for taking the pain away from my eye, Lord. And I want to just praise you and thank you, for because we know you're the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and you know everything. And we ask and you help us through these struggles and issues of our life, Lord. So I pray, especially here this morning, that we'd be willing to open our hearts. I especially pray for these parents with the young children, teenagers. I pray, God, that you would just give them wisdom, give them clear direction. I pray, Lord, that you guide, that you would help them, that they could guide their children in the right path and the right direction, Lord. Oh, God, I just pray, Lord, that they wouldn't make any wrong decisions where they would regret it later on, God. And that you would just help them, Lord, to give them wisdom and guidance, Lord. Also pray that you bless the mothers as they prepare night after night for to get the children ready, Lord. And Lord, I know it's not always easy, but I pray, Lord, you bless them and help them. I pray, Lord, we can be a godly example as older people to the young as we interact with the young so they don't go astray or they don't pick up offenses in any way, Lord, that they react in a wrong way, Lord. So, God, we need your help this morning. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. There's one thing I'd like to share before I get started in my message. I shared my part of my testimony first night. Last night I shared a little bit more. And I always kind of struggle doing that in a setting like this. And one of the reasons for it is it seems at times there's young people that don't grow up the way we did or I did or some of us did. They grew up in a godly setting and it seems sometimes it makes it more difficult for them to commit their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, because in their mind, maybe they have to have kind of a testimony like I do. But you know what? God is more pleased with a young person who doesn't have the life or didn't lead a life like I did. It's more pleasing to God. And you know, with that, there's reaping. There's reaping. And so, don't let my testimony in any way distract you. You don't have to have a life like that. Amen. But you know what? We all have to come to the realize that we're sinners. And simply not believing is sin. And we'll eat to live. Confess that sin and whatever thing else that bothers us. Maybe we've said a lie, or maybe we've... I remember one time, us ministers, when we were Amish, and we got together with the youth, and they had to have a clear testimony before we would baptize them, and I remember this one young sister listening to her testimony, and it was simply one of her parents put a little note on her pillow one night when she got to bed, and it simply said, "Are you ready to die? If you would die tonight." And then she got convicted, and she couldn't sleep, and that night she got up and woke up her parents, and she says she confessed her sins, and it was just some small little sins, you know, just some, she lied or she wasn't quite honest or truthful, and she asked the Lord into her life, and after she was done sharing her short little testimony, she said, "I hope that's good enough." And you know, it just did something to my heart. That's what the Lord wants. That's what He's looking for. He's not looking for these glamorous or these testimonies that we have to go and commit all these awful, wicked sins. But simply we have to confess whatever sin we have and believe and walk in faith. So this morning, to get to my message, I kind of struggled with my title. And I asked a few different people, and I had a few suggestions. So I'm not sure how to word my title, but I think you'll get the point after a while. I titled it, "Living a Life with No Regrets." Now, if we think of living a life with no regrets, I know on my part, it's not going to happen. I say things, I do things, I hurt people. Sometimes I say things to my wife I shouldn't say, and I have regrets. And that's not the regrets I'm talking about today. I'm talking about lasting regrets. Regrets that it'll never change, or we can't change, or it's too late. That's the regrets. I preached this message here a couple Sundays ago at Bethlehem because I was prompted to preach. It was laid on my heart because of a situation that these parents got themselves in, and they have deep regrets. They had three boys, and they did everything together. They hunted together as a family. Everything they did together. And they were a very close family. But because of church situations, things weren't going so well, and it made the boys struggle, and finally, they decided to move out of that church and go to another church. But the boys didn't want to go where the parents wanted to go, so the parents decided to follow their boys. Now they're married. Two of them are married. Three of them are married, but two of the boys got married. They got into this counseling stuff where they have to do soul. They have to. I forget what they call it. Soul cutters. I forget what. There's a certain word, and so they really have nothing to do with their parents anymore. Their parents don't even know their grandchildren barely, and they have deep regrets. This brother told me if he would just have things to do over, he says, "I have my children's heart. But because of some of the decisions I made, they started making their own decisions. And if I would have just told the boys we're not going there, I believe they would have followed us. And I think it would have all been different." And then I started thinking about all the other men I knew or know that have deep regrets of things they got involved in. Right now, there's a situation. I remember this young man one night God just laid it on his heart that he was a lost sinner. And we were having Bible study. And after Bible study, he came and confessed his sins. And he gave his heart to the Lord. And now he's married in a conservative church. I believe he has 2 children. And he's in trouble with 4 different counties. I have a feeling he has deep regrets. And then I had to think back in my days, 16, 17, 18. I remember one winter night, I remember skating. Alan was his name. We'd skate with him. I skated with him 1 week, and the next week he was with a bunch of young boys. He was a friend of mine. He was with a bunch of young boys, and they were driving very reckless, and they had an accident, and he got killed. And I believe today he has regrets. You know, it stopped me for about a week from what I kind of was into, and I thought about it, but after about the second week, it kind of left me. His funeral really did affect me, but I kept on living my life. It wasn't long after that, I used to help this Amish farmer on the farm. And so I knew his sons very well. And they were out drinking and driving and got into an accident. Joe was his name, and he got killed. You know, it affected me for a little while, but then I went right back to my old life. And then something else happened that really hit me. One, Norman was his name. I knew of him, but I didn't know him real well. But we hired his dad to come. We had these big, huge maple trees. I think about 4 or 5 of them in the yard. And we hired his dad to come trim those trees. And he brought his son Norman along. And we became friends real fast while he was working there. And it was shortly after the job, and then of course we were connected then. It was shortly after the job, they were out drinking, and they all got drunk, and they decided to see if they can, at a high rate of speed, go through this one stop sign. And there was a car coming, killed him instantly. And I believe all these people today have regrets. They still have regrets. They were not ready to meet the Lord. Shortly after that, one of the boys that I was with basically every weekend, his brother was driving a car up close to Mount Hope on 241, took the turn too fast, hit a tree, killed him instantly. So I think of all these friends of mine. I believe they're somewhere today with regrets. Then I think of this young man. As I shared, I really struggled in school. I was a terrible hard learner. I felt like a nothing. But there was this one young man. He was a friend to everyone. And he was a close friend to mine. I can still hear him. He giggled a lot. He was always giggling. He was always happy. He was always had a big smile, and no one ever was upset at him. It didn't even matter who he was a friend to. Well, he turned 16, and he did what most of the boys in the area did, started partying. And you know what? He started drinking, and he couldn't handle it. He became an alcoholic real fast. And from there, he got into drugs. And from there, he tried to kill his girlfriend. So he's in prison. He was in prison. He got out of prison. He couldn't cope. He ended up in Worcester in Tent City, what we call Tent City. He lived in a tent for a while. People tried to help him, but he got into drugs. Today he's sitting in prison. And I believe with regrets and the choices he had made. And then I think of the times I went to prison. I used to go to prison quite a bit. And I think of one of the last times, it was just before COVID. I went to this prison. It was the second time I was ever there. And I was preaching. And I look out over the crowd. And here sits my neighbor that I used to make hay with. He was never a Christian, and in fact, he was. I'll leave it. But here he was sitting, and all at once I see another neighbor, about 3 miles from where we lived. He was there, and then I look back, and here was a Swartzen Trooper Amish man, and all at once I seen a bishop I knew. And I seen a Mennonite boy. And I got the opportunity to talk to all of them. And they all had deep, deep regrets. Then I think of my life. I had to ask myself, you know how easy it could have been me having those regrets in hell. I remember times running stop signs and there's just nothing was there, so nothing happened. I remember a time, you know, I have to ask myself, why not me? But God gave me the opportunity, and I'm here today, and I'd like to express or share my heart on some of the decisions that we make as parents or as we make as young people, as we make that we don't have to have these deep regrets. I remember one time going down the road with a motorcycle and I was not paying attention, and just like that, I look up and there's a pickup stop right in front of me with 2x4 sticking out back over the tailgate. I remember I was all over the road trying to get that thing stopped. I stopped. The 2x4s were right here. I would have today I'd be somewhere with deep regrets, my friends. Regret that I could never change, if that would have killed me. I was not ready to meet the Lord and be with the Lord. So I'm here to encourage you parents that you make the right decision for your family. Mm-hmm. That we don't have regrets, not just for your children, but for your grandchildren and their children. Now, how do we live a life with no regrets? You know, instead of planning ahead and making advanced preparation for the circumstances, they might meet during courses of day. What do people tend to do? You know, they react instantly towards life. Or they do what just comes naturally. And they react sinfully. You know, how many times has something happened in the morning and it affects the rest of our thinking the rest of the day? And this is what I'd like to encourage us as believers. Rushing into the morning with very little time with the Lord, you know, that can control our attitude for the rest of the day. And I know it's hard, especially as families. My biggest challenge is whenever I have a change of schedule. And I go back to Daniel again, Daniel chapter 1, I believe it's verse 8, where it says, and I may get to that verse, but it says, Daniel purposed in his heart. So recently, I shut down my barn lot, and I started escorting for sheds. So I didn't have to be at my office until, before I had that, I didn't have to be there until 10 o'clock. And then I had a lot of time so I could spend time in the office. And I knew going into this, I had to make purpose in my heart to start the morning out right. In Psalms 5, verse 3, it says, my voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning, till I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. You know, we as Christians cannot let circumstances control us. I'm going to turn to Proverbs 16. I may kind of go fast through some of these. There's one verse I'd like to get. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that takes a city. I believe when we pray in the morning, we spend time in the Word of God. As circumstances come up in our Christian life, we will respond in a different way where we will have less regrets. Proverbs 25, verse 28. He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Galatians chapter 5, two verses there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. And I think we all know these. It's the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's one word I'd like to look at, and that's temperance. It's self-control is a definition. Self-control. You know, every day we need to walk in holiness. I have a poem here by Ralph Cushman. And I'd like for us to follow along. And the title of it is The Secret. I meet God in the morning when the day was at its best, and His presence came like sunrise, like a glory within my breast. All day long the presence lingered. All day long He stayed with me. And we sailed in perfect calmness over a very troubled sea. Other ships were blown and battered. Other ships were sore distressed. But the winds that seemed to drive them brought us to a peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings with a keen remorse of mind, when I, too, had lost the mornings with his presence left behind. So I think I know the secret. Learn from many troubled ways. You must seek God in the morning if you want him through the day. I think if we spend time in the Word of God in the morning, it will help us that we won't have these regrets during the day. You know, unless a believer abides in Christ, just like that branch that's connected there in John 15, where the scripture talks about abiding. In fact, I'm just going to turn to it. John chapter 15. Starting verse 4. It says, "Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branch. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them in the fire, and they are burned." Regrets. Regrets. "If you abide in me, and my word abideth in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you continually, ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full." So I believe it's very important that we abide in Christ, that we walk with Christ, and that we make choices with Christ. Lasting choices where we won't have these deep regrets. But if we're not connected with God the way we should be connected, we're going to potentially, we could make very wrong choices. And I believe that's why it's so important to have a brotherhood. As we walk through this Christian walk, to help us make some of these choices. And to be open if a brother sees something in our life. And that's one of the regrets I have. This brother I was sharing about with his sons is my brother, my blood brother. And I seen things happening and I didn't say anything. And I believe he would have been open to me. And now he has these regrets. So we need to abide in Christ. You know, if we attempt to meet those challenges, or we attempt to bear those burdens, or attempt to resist those temptations, or attempt to solve the problems in everyday life without first drawing to God, we're going to have regrets. I have a question for you boys, young boys. What happens if we try to operate a diesel truck on gas. Does that work? It does not work. And I believe that's what happens. We operate our energy of the flesh. And if we operate with the energy of our flesh, it will bring bad results and regrets. You know, we go through our life daily, and just through the motions of our daily life, and the Lord is not with us, we're going to have regrets, tragic regrets. We must stay connected to Christ. And how do we do that? How do we stay connected to Christ? There's many different ways we could discuss. But I believe one of the ways is through prayer. I believe prayer is an important key ingredient to stay connected to Christ. The other way is through the intake of the Word of God, the Bible. We have to have that intake of the Word of God on a daily basis. I don't know on your part, but I know on my part, if I don't have that intake, it affects my life. It affects my spiritual life. It affects my relationship with my wife. It affects my relationship with people around me. And it makes me miserable and grumpy. We must stay connected with Christ. The question is how? Through fellowship with believers. We need that connection with fellow believers. And we need to have that relationship with fellow believers. And it's through worship in church. I think I may have shared it with a brother yesterday. We were down in Texas for 6 months. It wasn't a very long time, but we were gone from Bethlehem there for 6 months. And you know, church life was just so easy. It was so easy. We weren't at church. I wasn't at brothers' meeting. It was just so easy. We had other struggles. There was two missions there. I wasn't going to share this, but I think I'll share what happened. So here we have 20 acres. Cam owns 20 acres there. And it's been a mission for years, but Cam had just bought it. It was a ideal setup for mission work. Had all these dorms, had all these showers, had these kitchens and all these separate houses, and it's just one of those perfect places you don't buy every day. Well, so we were with ARC, so ARC had the back portion of the buildings, and then there was ABM, Anabaptist Border Missions, they had the front portion. And it had its challenges. And it didn't take me very long to realize something wasn't quite right between the two missions. And so, I'm not sure why I'm getting into this, but it ended up being a huge struggle. It ended up being a huge thing. You know, church life was easy, but here we were on the mission field. And we were being divided. And the staff were being divided, and all ones one side couldn't be with the other side anymore because of the struggles. Really, no one kind of knew why. And I remember having a discussion with one of the administrators, and we recognized here we're here to do mission work. Here we're here to reach out to people that are struggling, and the devil does not like it. So he's here right in the middle of here trying to destroy us, to separate us, to put a wedge between us so that we can't function. And when that was recognized, the two parties that were at odds, it was the main struggle. One night they got together. They recognized the devil's trying to get a wedge between them. And they apologized. In fact, it was so bad before they didn't even have communion with each other. They apologized. They realized the devil was at work and they was trying to get a wedge in here. And it changed everything on the compound. In fact, it was unbelievable when we left. It was just such a blessing. And I was at odds with one of the brothers there on somewhat of a term. When I recognized what was happening, everything changed. But we had to get together and we had to talk. We had to talk about our differences. And we had to lay it down. And so church life can be really easy if you're not in church. We got back from Texas after 6 months. We get to Bethlehem. It was a struggle to plug in. So many new people had started coming. Didn't know a lot of them, like the new ones. And we just kind of felt like we don't really fit in here. We enjoyed the people, and yet it was so hard. It was work. It was hard work. And I realized I had a wrong attitude. And I had to plug in. I had to make it happen. I had to purpose in my heart to make things happen. And I'm here to tell you, brothers, if I wouldn't have made that decision, I'd probably have some deep regrets. You know, church life is not always easy. But we need each other, brothers and sisters. We have our differences. I remember having, just not all that long ago, having some hard brothers' meetings. But we need to draw together in our differences. If not, we're going to have regrets. It's not just because of us, but it's because of our children and the struggle it creates for them. So there's some spiritual necessities that we need. And I share one of them. And it's one of my favorite places to go to. And that is in Daniel 1, verse 8. I'm just going to turn there. Daniel 1, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So here was Daniel. I don't know what he was all feeling. I don't know what Daniel was going through. But I cannot imagine being in Daniel's shoes at all. He was in a situation he could not help being in. But Daniel did one thing, and he purposed in his heart, he's not going to eat of that food, and he's not going to drink of that wine. And I believe there's a time when we have to purpose in our heart, we're not going there, or we're not going to be doing that, because it's going to defile us. It's going to take us places we don't want to go. It's going to take our families we don't want to go. And later on, we're going to regret it. It's a burden on my heart. and we don't purpose in our heart for our families, and we don't stop and think on the decisions I make, the direction this is going to take me, we're going to have regrets. It's that serious. So we need to purpose in our heart that we're going to seek the Lord. We're going to be open to the brotherhood. We're going to be able, we're willing to take counsel from the brotherhood because of our children and their children for the future generation. I think I can share this. Bethlehem went through a little ripple here, a little struggle. I called it ripple and kind of turned into some bumps. You know who it affects? Young children. Not young youth. It affects youth. And we have to purpose in our heart. And I kind of got on this high horse. When I get on high horses, people kind of get tired of it at times. But I think one of the problems we have is relationships. If we don't have relationships with our brothers and sisters, a healthy relationship, I meet with two brothers every week. One of them is Brother David. You know, when we were going through that bump, or those ripples and bumps, I told Brother David, I had no plans on sharing this today, but I told Brother David, if I wouldn't have that relationship with you, I know you. I know what you think. We share everything. We have no secrets. I know his weakness. He knows my weakness. I know what he struggles with. He knows what I struggle with. I said, going through these times, I wonder which side I would have jumped on. But I know your heart. I know your heart. I know the other side's heart. Real good friends with him. Can't we just get together? But we have to purpose in our heart to make it work. That's what I'm talking about, brothers and sisters. If we would have come back from Texas and I really would have never just plugged in, I wonder what for struggles I'd be having. We need each other's. We need each other as we go through life, or we're going to end up having some deep regrets. You know, how serious are we really about living a life with no regrets? I'm talking about deep regrets. With the choices we make, we have to narrow our focus from day to day, a day at a time. We have to live our life a day at a time with no regrets. How do we live a life with no regrets? Lamentations, chapter 3, starting verse 40. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. We have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast pardoned. Thou hast covered with anger and persecuted us. Thou hast slain, thou hast not pitied. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud, that our prayer should not pass through. Thou hast made us as offsprings and refuge in the midst of the people. All our enemies have opened their mouth against us. Fear and a snare is come upon us, desolation and destruction. My eye runneth down with the river of water to the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye trickleth down and sees not without any intermission. Till the Lord look down and behold from heaven, my eyes affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Mine enemies chase me sore like a bird without a cause. They have cut off my life in the dungeon, cast a stone upon me. Waters flowed over mine head when I said I am cut off. I called upon the name of the Lord out of the low dungeon. Thus has heard my voice, hide not the ears of my breathing at my cry. Thou drawest near, and the day I call upon thee, thou sayest, fear not. O Lord, thou hast pleased the cause of my soul. Plead the cause of my soul that has redeemed my life. O Lord, thou hast seen my wrong. Judge thou my cause. So it's just so important that we live this life without regrets. When hard times come, or we're in hard times, how do we get out? You know, if I had to think of the children of Israel, I believe there was times, a number of times, that the children of Israel had a lot of regrets. And they've seen all these things, these different things that happened. If we just stop and think of Exodus chapter 12, how Moses told them to take this perfect lamb and how they should use all the stuff and how they take that blood around the door. They've seen all this. They did this. And now we know the story, but they get up to the Red Sea and the enemy's coming right after them. And it seemed like they regretted that they had left. They were accusing Moses, throwing accusations at Moses. But you know, God had a plan for them, and we know the story. They got over the cross, the Red Sea, the enemy's behind. They sang praises, and a little while later, they were murmuring. They were complaining, and we know what happened. They had regrets. They could not enter the promised land. You know, sometimes we put Jesus in our Savior, our physician, in a little box. Prayer is very important as we go through life so we don't have these deep regrets. Another way to live a life with no regrets is when we dress in the morning, that we must remember to dress the inward man. I have a bunch of scripture for that, but for the sake of time, I'm going to leave it. Another way to live a life with no regrets is to remind ourselves who we are. You know, if we think of really who we are, maybe a lot of times we kind of think of our occupation, of who we are. But I'd like to turn to Romans chapter 11, chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 11, starting in verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I remember our Amish bishop, that the new order there, the church there, Owen, what he used to say on this verse, likewise, reckon ye also to be dead unto sin. He said, a dead person, if there's a dead person there and you take a pin and you poke him, he's not going to flinch. He's not going to hit back. He's not going to respond because he's dead. It says here, likewise, reckon you also to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies that ye should obey it, it and the lusts thereof. Neither yield your members or instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members of instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. So let's remember who we are. We're dead to sin. We have God in our life. We have Christ in our life. The Holy Spirit can show us, give us direction, so we don't have to have this life where we're going to have these deep regrets. Can we truly say this morning, that I am a child of God, and by the grace of that, I will live according. I'm a child of God, and by His grace, I will live according. And if we do that, my friends, we're not going to have those deep regrets.
Right. Amen.
Let's remind ourselves also how weak and sinful we are apart from God's grace. Another way to live a life with no regrets. Let's remind ourselves of the dangers we face while we're living in this world, we could say this evil world. Living a life with no regrets. Many strong men have been slain by the devil with regrets. He will steal your mind by false teaching with regrets. He will steal your time by worldly distractions with regrets. He will steal your joy by cultivating the seeds of bitterness and envy in your heart with regrets. He will steal your thoughts with immorality with regrets. He will steal your life by tempting you with 101 other things that promises life and will promise to bring happiness, will promise to bring success or security with regrets. If we're here living today a life with regrets, what are we doing about it? You know, we need to do whatever. There's some things we simply can't change. I have deep regrets of my past. But there's things that I can't change, and they're under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
But it affects me. It's called reaping. But we need to overcome. If we're living a life with regrets, or living a life that will turn into regrets. You know, let's ask the question, what is Jesus saying today? Psalms 90, verse 12 says, to teach us the number of days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I have a question for us. For all of us, children, are you awake? Spouses, brothers, sisters, parents, if we were in an accident, if we would have been in an accident, and we'd be gathered here today for the funeral, for my spouse, for one of my children, for one of my brothers, for one of my sisters, and we'd be here for their funeral, would we have any regrets? My heart's desire is, my burden on my heart is, that you parents make decisions so I don't have to hear stories when we get together that you regret it because of the direction you ended up taking your family. My heart's desire is for you young people in here that you never have to share your testimony with deep regrets. My heart's desire is here that everyone can have that vibrant walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I shared the other day, that we can live above that snake line and we can live that victorious life and we can have that walk with the Lord Jesus Christ where there will be no regrets, deep regrets, lasting regrets, but that we're here today with a peace of heart, knowing if we or one of our siblings or spouses would die today, that we'd have no regrets. So my prayer is for all of you to live a life. That's my heart's desire. I ask for your prayer that I can live a life with no lasting regrets. I have grandchildren. I have 10 grandchildren. The oldest one is 10. You know, I could think, you know, it's 10. But 10 more years is not very long. What am I to them as a grandpa? What decisions do I make as a grandpa? It simply comes down to what I buy, how I act, how I respond. And I need your prayers in that. But my heart's desire is that my grandchildren never experience some of those deep regrets. My heart's desire is that if we talk about all these funerals I just started out with, and their friends would be in those accidents, that they know today they wouldn't be having those regrets. My heart's desire is that we could just walk in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and stay faithful and grounded and rooted in Him. So may God bless you and thank you for your hospitality, your friendly faces. I didn't even see people sleeping, and that's always a blessing for a preacher. When's everyone? I figured maybe by today it's going to be a challenge. And it's just a blessing. It was just a tremendous blessing for being here. Thanks for inviting me. And I didn't get to know everyone, and I'd like to know more of you and on a better or a more of a deeper level. So come see us at Bethlehem.
Thank you for coming.
You're welcome.